Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the South Dakota Festival of Books in Brookings at SDSU. We're in the Performing Arts Center. We have a live audience with us. We have four wonderful authors on stage with us. And next up is J. Ryan Straddle. He's the author of Kitchens of the Great Midwest. He's a Minnesota native, but he now lives in Los Angeles. We'll forgive him for that. Where he is the editor at Unnamed Press and the Nervous Breakdown and co-producer and host of the literary culinary series Hot Dish, which is a great title for a literary series. Welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
Growing up in the Midwest matters.
Yes.
Tell me why.
We're not like anywhere else.
Yeah.
And we're not going to tell people about it. I think people have to discover us. I don't think we're inherently show people.
Right.
Yeah.
So how has going, we ask everybody this, who's grown up here and then left us behind and then comes back to visit. So what did you bring? I can never get tired of this question, but tell me what you learned kind of growing up in Minnesota that you took with you to Los Angeles and everywhere else that you've been that you really couldn't have gotten anywhere else.
Irony is overrated. Enthusiasm and sincerity count for a lot.
That's right. Amen. Such a cheesy question, but I love asking it because that's where I'm from too. So your writing is unexpected on a micro level. Word choice really matters. Word choice is often unexpected. Structure is unexpected. Chapter titles in this book are unexpected. Is that intentional? Are you always, do you have to go through like three unexpected things till you get to the next thing, to the next word? How do you accomplish that?
Wow, that's such an interesting question. I feel like I want to describe a world that's familiar, but in a way that I haven't seen described yet. Hmm. I'm constantly looking for a novel way of interpreting mundane events. Hmm. Frankly, I'm consistently inspired by things that people would normally find mundane. And growing up in a small town in Minnesota where I had to make my own fun for most of my first 18 years, there's an awful lot of fun to be had and insight to be gleaned from the everyday if you look for it.
Lots of outdoor fun for you, right?
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
You're an outdoor kid or an indoor kid? I know the answer to this.
I read
your work, but tell us what an outdoorsman you were as a child.
A very reluctant one. Yeah. I really enjoyed the opening weekend of deer season in Minnesota because it was the time when the rest of my family would leave the house and I was finally left alone to just read books all weekend. And they wouldn't hassle me to do something I didn't want to do. I could hole up and read when everyone else is out shooting things.
Right. So yeah. when you're writing this book and there's food in it, of course, the chapter titles.
Just a bit, yeah.
Just a bit of food. It's fiction. It's a literary fiction book.
The recipes are real, though.
The recipes are real. Can I go home and try them?
Yes, absolutely. I encourage
some good
it.
Bars out. But the titles are Lutefisk bars. Now I've forgotten the rest. Give me some other titles of
Sweet pepper jelly, golden bantam, as in the sweet corn variety. Right. Walleye.
Walleye, of course. There would have to be walleye.
Yeah.
No venison.
And we're in South Dakota.
Is there
too.
Venison?
Oh yes, venison, yeah. Absolutely.
So. These are the ties that bind growing up. This is what the hot dish is what brings everyone together.
Certainly, yeah. It still does. The ingredients are a little different sometimes now.
You structured this book in sort of a risky way. Each chapter is a different. Well, tell us a little bit about the structure and how it's put together.
Right. The book is structured as a recipe for a human. Each ingredient is served in a meal that's served at the end. Or each ingredient comprises part of a dish that is part of a supper served in the final chapter. And each ingredient is introduced to the main character by a different person. So these people and this food come together to approximate the life of a person, the life of my main character, Eva.
You wrote this where? Where were you at?
No. I was in a tiny studio apartment in Hollywood. I was as far from the Midwest in a lot of ways as you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that process like then? Did you feel homesick during it?
Oh, sometimes, yeah. I woke up every morning thinking about the Midwest and unlocking some of the puzzles that my upbringing created for me. I've often felt as long as people continue to confuse me, I'll have something to write about. And I felt like I had a lot of things in regards to my upbringing in the Midwest that I hadn't addressed or hadn't thought of, hadn't unpacked. Yeah. And also I felt a real need for a book set among working class Midwesterners. I hadn't seen many of them, and I certainly hadn't seen many set within the realm of their cuisine. Mm-hmm.
Will you tell me about your mother?
Oh, absolutely.
Can we go there?
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say my mom is the reason I was a writer. She went back to college when I was a kid. She was in her 30s. She had dropped out in the late 60s and returned to get her English degree when I was still in grade school. So she would read her homework assignments to me as a bedtime story. And her enthusiasm for reading and writing really struck a chord with me. And I thought, the coolest thing I could do in life would be to be a writer. I came to that conclusion from observing my mom and her own enthusiasm for her writing assignments and her reading assignments.
Did she know that?
I think so, yeah.
Did she know you as a writer?
Well, she knew me as a writer from a young age when I wrote my first book. And I did that by taking my favorite book at the time, which was Richard Scarry's Cars and Trucks and Things That Go, and writing in crayon on the inside cover, written by Ryan Straddle. Sometimes you identify with something so completely, you feel like you could have done it. And perhaps that's how I felt. In any case, my mom disabused me of the notion that this is how books are written. No, you must come up with the words yourself. And after sitting on that thought for a while, I came to the conclusion that, oh, yeah, I could do that. Yeah. I'll just come up with my own words. Just that easy or difficult, as the case may be. So I've been writing ever since. My own words.
Did she give you encouragement then?
Oh, feedback? Quite a bit. Yeah, quite a bit. And there wasn't, you know, I came from an outdoorsy family of blue-collar people, and there wasn't any sort of precedent for someone attempting to make a living in a creative art. So her enthusiasm for my writing counted for quite a lot my entire life.
Did she read a lot to you as well, other than her own work?
Oh, sure. Yeah, certainly other children's books. And then later on, when I became old enough to, you know, read adult literature, we would read the same book and discuss it when I was still in school.
Will you read something from this book?
Absolutely.
You might want to set it up a little bit. And it's just another example of this wonderful, unexpected writer that I'm talking about, if you haven't read any of this yet. So we're gonna describe a woman.
All right.
In this little excerpt. So tell us who we're describing, and this is their first meeting.
We're describing Eva's mom, Cynthia, and this is the moment when her dad, Lars Torvald, who's a chef at a fictional Lake Minnetonka bistro, meets the woman that would be the father of his daughter. Amid the circumstance of a long-suffering sports team's success, the strange joy of it all spread through the restaurant. It was during these happy weeks when Cynthia Hargreaves, the smartest waitress on staff. She gave the best wine pairing advice of any of the servers. Well, she seemed to take an interest in Lars. By this time, Lars was 28, growing a pale, hairy inner tube around his waist, and already going bald. Even though Cynthia had an overbite in the shakes, she was 6 feet tall and beautiful, and not like a statue or a perfume advertisement, but in a realistic way, like how a truck or a pizza is beautiful in the moment you want it most. This to Lars made her feel approachable.
This is my fist pumping moment where I just say, oh, like when you want it the most. I just love that. Yeah. This sort of screams book club to me. Uh-huh. It also screams independent bookseller to me. This is the kind of book that's just going to be passed out by hand by all those independent booksellers. They've been kind to you, haven't they?
Oh, extremely.
Tell me a little bit about your sort of connection to independent booksellers and small bookstores across the Midwest.
Wow, I'm so grateful for it. I went to a bookstore in Wadena, Minnesota, called An Open Book. It's a town of about 4,000 people in northern Minnesota. And 60 people came. So that's about 2% of the population. It's really, really incredible. I mean, the Vikings weren't playing that Sunday, so that might have had something to do with it.
But, contribution.
but I felt like I also wanted to make the effort to go to these bookstores on my own dime. And, you know, I came from a small town in Minnesota. It was very unusual for an author to come through. And I remembered it when they didn't. So I wanted to be that author that would make the effort to go to small towns in the Midwest and talk to the people who take the time out of their lives to read my book. Because frankly, it's a really amazing thing to have readers. There's so many other things you could be doing with your life. You know, you've got family, you've got work, you've got sports, you've got TV shows that you might like. You know, you're reading a book. It takes a while to engage with it. It's a choice. And I really wanted to honor the people who made that choice.
Yeah. You also help young people learn how to write. Is that
correct? Oh, yeah. I've been doing it for 11 years.
Tell me a little bit about your work there and some of those fundamentals that kids really have a hard time overcoming to become writers.
Right. Well, some of my favorite assignments as a grade school kid were the ones that were somewhat open-ended in how they unlocked creative possibilities. Mm. One of my favorite assignments I like to give grade school students, especially third through fifth graders, are a Create Your Own Country workshop, where they draw the map, write the laws, design the flag, and interpret those parameters however they wish. And I really like to see the narratives that evolve out of that, because often they do. Often this isn't just a list of facts, but there's a story in here. And I'll sometimes see kids, you know, siblings, friends, at the same table, develop countries that have relationships with each other. You know? Yeah, like Catland versus Chocolate World, you know, there's a Cold War between them, you know. Yeah.
And it's also, they make up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they make, sometimes they don't, right?
Yeah. We just need to pause and let that sink in for everybody. They make the worlds and the worlds will have relationships. That's kind of, that's a big, we're, you know, that's big stuff.
Absolutely. Right there. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to do.
What do you hope that they leave with?
Well, anytime I teach kids, I hope they leave the room thinking of something they hadn't thought about before coming in, that I've unlocked something creative or some little element of inspiration in them that they'll carry forward.
J. Ryan Straddle is the author of Kitchens of the Great Midwest. Thank you for joining us. It's a delightful book.
You're welcome.